You're listening to the Morning Answer Daily Podcast with Jennifer Horn and Grant Stinchfield.
I just wondered, I heard on the news about the birth rate being down. Do they factor in all of the abortions that they supposedly love? Because if you add in all the abortions, maybe they wouldn't be down as much.
Pick up the phone anytime, day or night, and let Jen and Grant know what's on your mind. Leave us a message at 877-590-5843. That's 877-590-5843. It's the Morning Answer.
Yes, it is. Thanks for joining us. Tuesday edition. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield.
And, well, we heard from Governor Gavin Newsom yesterday. Keep in mind, he's now 7 weeks, I think, past due for his State of the State address. Because by law, he's required to give one. We have not gotten one yet. He said he
Can we arrest him?
Wouldn't that be great?
It's a silly law.
It's a silly law. But we also are required to have a balanced budget in the state of California. And we do not, which is probably
why
we also don't have a state of the state, because the balanced budget is not happening. We are in a total deficit mode. We had a surplus just a few years ago. Gavin Newsom is going to have to make some cuts. And, you know, Democrats don't like to cut anything. So it's like crickets. So we're not hearing from him much.
Has that balanced budget law been in place?
I don't know, but for a long time.
For a long time. And they abided by it?
Yes. Yes, you have. Yes.
And so is this new that we don't?
This is not a good thing. This is not normal. And by the way, this is why we aren't hearing from Governor Newsom, because he doesn't want to have to make the announcement about the budget.
Think about the problem for states. Mm-hmm. States can't just print money like the federal government.
Correct.
Can. So you got a real issue.
It's harder. But certainly, I think this would also be a good law to have federally. Wouldn't it be nice to have a balanced budget?
Need to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's imperative.
I mean, I think that's just a basic one. I'm not always necessarily for more laws, but I think it's a good one. So Gavin Newsom has been doing everything he can to avoid the state of the state. He traveled to Rome. He went to go meet with the Pope. Why did he go to the Vatican? I know you don't like pop quiz, but if there was one really big issue to go talk to the Vatican, leaders in the Vatican about, what would it be?
He's asking forgiveness.
No, that's so where he should be.
Abortion.
Climate change, baby.
Climate change.
Oh, we got to get, I mean, it's getting hot around here. We got to get to that Vatican and start, you know,
figuring
it out.
See, this is why I don't like pop quizzes.
Well, this is why I was helping you by fanning myself.
Oh, yes.
I was trying to make it so that you didn't appear like you didn't know what was happening.
Right.
So Newsom announced that California tourism.
I thought maybe the Pope had a hot new assistant or something.
Oh, who knows?
You know, I mean, that would be more like it for Newsom to go.
Sister Mary Catherine.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So Newsom announced Sunday, that California's tourism is at an all-time high.
I don't believe that.
I don't either.
No way.
He posted a video. This is so funny. He posted a video, and you've got to see it. We'll tweet it out at This is TMA. He posted a video where he was like standing on top of the Golden Gate Bridge. It didn't look very steady. And this looks like somebody, if under normal circumstances, you saw someone sitting out there, like they'd be arrested. Like he looked like he's getting ready to jump. Maybe that's the pressure from the budget.
And then did Biden walk up and said, don't jump?
Don't. And then he just shuffled off. No.
Don't jump.
So apparently he says that we had record-breaking tourism numbers in 2023. He said $150 billion in tourism was spent in California in 2023, which is the highest in state's history. Now, you could say that's an achievement, or you can say that it's very expensive to come to California, and maybe people are spending so much, not because more people are coming, but maybe because they have to spend more when they come here. Could that be possible? He said that California's population also grew by 67,000 people. You know, we've been losing population over the last couple of years.
Is he just making this stuff up as he goes?
I saw the number that they said that 67,000 more people came in. I would say it's not from other states. It's from the border, don't you think? 67,000 Chinese militiamen have moved into California. I mean, how sad is that?
It's pretty bad, but I still think we're losing people, not gaining.
Here's Gavin. Unless
you know what he's including.
What?
He's including illegals.
That's what I just said. Did you just get here?
Yeah, well, no, I guess.
Okay. You're like, you know what it is, Jack. You know what I got.
Well, he's including illegal aliens. I mean, that's not a way how you decide if you're gaining population or not.
Correct.
That's not a great
but
number.
But that's what I think he's doing. I mean, that's clearly why I said the border open.
Yeah. Okay. Now I get
Chinese militiamen.
Now I get it.
Okay. Here's Gavin Newsom hanging off the Golden Gate Bridge.
The beauty, the magnificence of the San Francisco Bay. What a perfect place to announce our record-breaking tourism numbers. Last year, $150 billion of investment, tourists around the globe coming to the great state of California.
No way. No way. Just not having the only way tourists are going to California right now is because Mexico's a disaster. Maybe you have some people going to California because they're afraid to go to Mexico.
Look, you're going to have people that are going to come to go to Disneyland. You're going to have people come to go and do the great stuff in California. I don't know that more of them are coming. I just think that they have to spend more because everything is so dang expensive. Josh Jacobs is a very popular guy. He came bounding into the studio, locks flying in the wind. Hello, Josh.
Josh Jacobs is a popular guy.
Now, why would Gavin do San Francisco of all places?
That's, I know,
the dirtiest. There's needles, there's feces.
And how no much, one's going to visit them.
How many
San
needles
Francisco.
Do you have to go through in order to get to the Golden Gate Bridge to that spot?
It's true. And don't forget, look at Radar laughing in the background over there. Don't forget, when you go to San Francisco, they actually give you the poop map so you can avoid the areas of human waste.
If you're going to San Francisco, be sure to wear some hazmats everywhere. Mm. To quote the Scott McKenzie song, Altered, a little bit.
There you go.
And who's, I mean, if there's tourism in California, I promise you, nobody's picking San Francisco right now.
No, nobody. Nobody's going. No one's saying, you know what would be great? Let's go to Oakland. Nobody's doing that. Nobody's doing that.
No.
So where are they going? They're going to Disneyland. They're going to Knott's Berry Farm, maybe. What else? They might go
Sonoma.
To Napa. Yeah, Napa and Sonoma. You might go maybe play some golf in the Central Coast somewhere.
Orange County, probably going down to the beaches, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. Right? Maybe you come to, I don't even know if people come to Hollywood anymore. I guess some people might.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you got Universal Studios.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, is fun.
Maybe,
and,
yeah. But you know, I almost always think those kind of places aren't really, you don't fly in to go to Universal. Maybe you do.
You do to Disneyland. Know. Disneyland, yes. You'd fly to Disneyland or Disney World. I think people make vacations of that.
Out of the Disneyland, mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know about Universal. That seems to be like a local draw.
That's
don't
what
you, think?
You do. I think, yes, local. But also when people come to do Hollywood, I think they would do Universal. Yeah. You do like a studio tour maybe.
Yeah.
855-785-8255. According to Gavin Newsom, we're breaking tourism records. Do you think that that's real or do you think it's because of the amount of money it costs to come here? The dollars being spent. 855-785-8255. We'll also hear from President Trump, who's in court today with Stormy Daniels. But first, Grant Stinchfield. Yeah. You may have to spend a lot of money to come to California. You have to spend a lot of money to go to the grocery store, for crying out loud. We don't want you to have to spend a lot of money. It's money that you don't have, maybe that you didn't plan for, because your dollar is being devalued every single day.
Right.
Gold and silver, they are the ultimate hedge against inflation.
They are. And I'll tell you what, more people are buying gold right now than ever before because they see the writing on the wall with the inflation, with the unrest, with the uncertainty, with the overreaching government, with the need for privacy. That's what gold provides you. The government can't hit a button and seize your money if your gold is in your gun safe or buried in your backyard. So the real idea is to start hoarding gold, collecting it. Don't worry so much about the price. Use it as a commodity, as a hedge for the rest of your investments. Of course, Midas Gold Group can help you do this. MidasGoldGroup.com, MidasGoldGroup.com, 805-601-6000, 805-601-6000, MidasGoldGroup.com.
Check them out. All right, as we continue, President Trump back in court today. We'll bring you an update from the courtroom as your Tuesday Morning Answer continues.
Welcome back to the Morning Answer.
Four more years.
I gotta hear this one again.
He read pause in the prompter.
This is the Morning Answer with Jen and Grant.
Oh boy, he read pause in the prompter. That's just the least of our troubles. Thanks for joining us Tuesday here on the Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I am Grant Stinchfield.
All right, President Trump yesterday in court made a comment, Grant, you pointed out, was really, really important. It was an important one because he said, if you must jail me, it's worth it because I will stand for the Constitution, for freedom in the American way. Okay,
yeah, really is amazing.
I'm adding on to it, but it's true. That's what he did say.
He's willing to go to prison to stand up for the Constitution. This is a man who has put everything on the line for this country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thank God he's a billionaire, because I don't know if you would have been able to survive it if you weren't.
And thank God he has no shame bone. I think most of us that feel the weight of this stuff, it would be really hard to keep going with what's been thrown. I mean, imagine for a second, if you had everything thrown at you that President Trump has had thrown at him. I mean, I would be like, could I even get out of bed in the morning? I mean, it's rough. He is a strong, strong person.
Yeah.
All right. So President Trump yesterday talking about defending free speech. Take a listen.
So it's a disgrace. But we just heard 2 to 3 more weeks. I thought they were finished today. And they are finished today if you look at what's happening. I thought they were going to be finished today, and they want 2 to 3 more weeks. The judge asked him, and playing right into the judge's hands. The judge is so happy about 2 to 3 more weeks because they all want to keep me off the campaign trail. That's all this is about. This is about election interference. How do we stop it? And it's a disgrace. And then you have the other thing that maybe is even more disgraceful is the gag order, where I can't basically, I have to watch every word I tell you people. You ask me a question, a simple question, I'd like to give it, but I can't talk about it. Because this judge has given me a gag order and said you'll go to jail if you violate it. And frankly, you know what? Our Constitution is much more important than jail. It's not even close. I'll do that sacrifice any day.
So the judge in the case, Judge Mershon, said that he understands the gravity of this decision to throw Trump in jail. He knows that he's the past president, could be the future president. Andy McCarthy, who's a friend of mine, and he's a very smart lawyer, not always the biggest Trump fan, but he's been talking about this case quite a bit. And you'll hear President Trump mention Andy McCarthy just like he does Jonathan Turley and Mark Levin like every single day as he walks into court. It's like one of the standards. But Andy McCarthy talked about this yesterday about if President Trump were to be thrown into jail. Take a listen.
Well, I think it'd be politically disastrous for Democrats to have Donald Trump be put in jail over this. I think it would just cause more scrutiny for this case, which is very, very politicized. I don't see how that helps them politically. So I think the judge is backing himself into a bad corner by continuing to draw a line in the sand that I think he really doesn't want to cross with these threats of incarceration.
I think he is painting himself into a corner because you're going to have to make a really big decision here if you keep saying it.
Yeah. And look, what President Trump said the other day, and I had the audio of it. It was on John Frederick's show on Real America's Voice. Mm-hmm. And John Frederick's, he basically said, Jen, as you had mentioned yesterday, it was, so the jury is
95% Democrat.
95%.
And that it was put together hastily. That's what he said.
Now, he said they're rushing the trial and they rushed the trial to put together the jury, which mm-hmm. I think is true. Now they're slowing the trial down, right? I mean, now they're slowing it down. But this is not negative about a jury member. And
no.
If it's negative, then I would offer this. If it's somehow negative or accusatory or defamatory about the jury, well, then is it negative or defamatory to be called a Democrat?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, you're calling somebody a Democrat. That I'm sure if they're a Democrat, they're going to say, yeah, that's what I am.
Yeah.
It's just that's to me is not defamatory. It's not meant to be negative. It's just how Donald Trump is seeing his jury pool. And that's OK. He should be allowed to talk about that. 855-785-8255. Now, today in court, Stormy Daniels is expected to testify. Currently, at this moment, Sally Franklin, who works for a publishing group, is being questioned again by prosecutor Rebecca Mangold in the Trump trial. There are several excerpts from Donald Trump's book that are being entered into evidence. Prosecutors will call Stormy today. She was paid $130,000 for a so-called hush money payment, which is what this trial is all about, to keep her from going public with a story about an alleged one-night stand with Donald Trump before the 2016 election. 855-785-8255. Oh, it is always fun to talk to Edward in Irwindale. Edward, good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Jen and Grant. I hope you're having a good day. And let me just start off by saying I know that you're going to dispute anything I say. But Donald Trump went to the president of Ukraine and said to him, I need you to announce the investigation of Joe Biden. Then you can have the weapons you need to defend your country.
Okay.
That is treason.
Okay, so treason. I want to ask you a question.
Donald Trump Jr. Met with the Russians and said to them, well, if what you say you have is true, then that'll be great.
Edward?
Hillary Clinton. That's two times
Okay, so it's treason. Donald Trump has committed treason. Edward, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Then is it also treason that Joe Biden went and asked to have a prosecutor fired from Ukraine because that prosecutor was looking into a company that was paying large amounts of money to his son who sat on the board of directors? Is that also treason?
I don't think that was intended to affect an election.
All right, So this is where you lose it, man.
So you can't say one or the other. You've got to be intellectually honest with us, please. Because it isn't right what you do.
Okay, you want me to say it's equal? I'll say it's equal just because you're forcing me to. But I don't think there's any comparison to asking a foreign leader to announce a fake investigation. It's apples and oranges, ladies and gentlemen.
So it's not bad to ask a foreign leader to end an investigation.
That's not best idea. You know what? If you want to say that, that's fine. But I don't think it compares to.
That was not us.
Edward, are you still there? Bummer, man.
That was not us.
I can't hear you.
That's a real bummer. No, I didn't cut him off at all.
No.
I was still enjoying it. I always like our time with Edward.
Team Biden didn't like him admitting that that's not a good idea.
Carisha up here was like, okay, and this is where it ends for Edward. Good night. All right, well, 855-785-8255. Always fun to mix it up a little bit. The Biden basement briefing, by the way, today is a goodie. We are going to hear Kamala Harris's take on foreign policy. It also involves her favorite lunch. And we'll also hear from Joe Biden, who really doesn't like those billionaires, unless he's a billionaire, and then that's okay. So get ready. The Biden basement briefing is next. Hey, guys. Now, let me tell you about something brand new, a new sponsor to this program, but not new to the station. You've heard about Bitcoin Advisors on our Wealth Summit, if you've tuned into that. And you may recall on our last Wealth Summit, we were joined by Chris Mitchell. He's the president and CEO of Bitcoin Advisors. Now, they're located locally in Westlake Village. They've got a beautiful office. I was just there a couple of weeks ago. And he was educating people about Bitcoin and digital currencies. Now, I'm impressed with what he knows that I actually drove out there and met with Chris and his team of advisors. Here's what they do at Bitcoin Advisors. They cater to people just like you, just like me, who want to invest in crypto, that know there is opportunity there, but just don't know exactly how to begin. I'm sure you've been hearing a lot about Bitcoin in the news. Right now, I've learned, is the time to buy because prices are coming down. And when the new low gets here, you have to be ready to buy. This is one of the last great buying opportunities. And Chris and his team at Bitcoin Advisors are here to help you through it. No fake news, no rumors, just real help from really talented people to get you investing in Bitcoin right now. For a limited time, Chris and his team are offering a free 30-day crypto training course. They have live Zoom classes. You can learn all about digital currencies, how to buy, how to trade, how to take advantage of their knowledge, which will assist you in the process because we know it can be confusing. Call Bitcoin Advisors today. Get educated on Bitcoin at 805-451-0662. That's 805-451-0662. 805-451-0662 or log on to Bitcoin Advisors. That's with the Z.com. Bitcoin Advisors with the Z.com. They're in Westlake Village, local here to Southern California, 805-451-0662 for Bitcoin Advisors. The Biden Basement Briefing is next as your Tuesday Morning Answer continues.
Welcome back to The Morning Answer with Jen and Grant.
I just love you two. As a matter of fact, all five of you, they're working in the station. And I just love hearing you laugh every morning together. It really wakes me up. Thanks again.
We're listening to you on our 24-hour comment line. Leave us a message at 877-590-5843. That's 877-590-5843. It's The Morning Answer.
Oh, yes, it is. And we thank you for joining us here on The Morning Answer. This is a Tuesday, May 7th. I'm Jennifer Horn.
I'm Grant Stinchfield.
All right. And if you are new to the program, or if you're not, you know, 7:38 or 7:36 most days, but we're a little late, brings us to the Biden Basement Briefing.
This is the daily Biden Basement Briefing.
Come on.
We'll teach Donald Trump a valuable lesson.
Come on.
Don't
mess with the minimum wage unless you want to get the benefit.
Come on, man.
Been telling you that for a long time. Don't mess with the minimum. Just stop. Don't. All right. So we're going to get to Kamala Harris's foreign policy take here in just a few moments. But I guess let's start with the serious stuff. There are reports that the U.S. blocked ammunition sales to Israel and that we are, as a nation, considering putting limits on aid to Israel if the invasion of Rafah continues, which is already happening. This finishes things with Hamas. You know, you may have heard that yesterday Hamas finally agreed to a ceasefire that was negotiated by Egypt and Qatar. Well, here's the problem. They did it after Israel was literally getting ready to invade. They refused to do this ceasefire. Then all of a sudden they want to do it. They want to make Israel look bad. They knew Israel was already going ahead with this invasion. They want to make it seem like they're breaking ceasefires and they're trying to get favor from the rest of the world. Admiral John Kirby was asked about the United States' stance on all of this yesterday in the White House press briefing.
I understand you don't want to get into the specifics here, but is it your understanding that this is Hamas's final offer? I mean, is there still room to negotiate here?
I think it's going to depend on our evaluation and the Israelis' evaluation of the response and where we go from here.
And as Steve mentioned, the Israelis are already warning people to evacuate Gaza. If they do go through with this operation, is the U.S. willing to consider putting limits or conditions on aid to Israel?
I won't get ahead of where we are right now, Mary, in the process here. And I'm certainly not going to speak to hypothetical operations that haven't happened yet. So I think we just have to see what transpires. The president was very direct and consistently so this morning, that we don't want to see major ground operations in Rafah that put these people at greater risk.
But a month ago, the administration did make clear that the U.S. would change its approach, right, if Israel didn't take significant steps to address the humanitarian crisis. Does that still hold? Is it possible that the U.S. could change course if the humanitarian process isn't improved?
Of course. We always have the right to adjust our policies as appropriate, and that has not changed, no.
And presumably an operation in Rafah would jeopardize steps to address the humanitarian.
All I can say is we've been very direct and very consistent in our views of concerns about operations in Rafah.
And I'll tell you what, Benjamin Netanyahu, his war council is the one who voted for this invasion of Rafah. It wasn't just Benjamin Netanyahu who made the call. So the war council votes on this. Doesn't care a rat's you know what about what Joe Biden thinks because they have no respect for him. So Joe Biden tells them, no, we really don't want you going into Rafah. And literally 15 minutes later, they're headed on into Rafah.
Sure.
And they should, because this is about rooting out Hamas. I will say, if you don't go into Rafah, if you agree to a ceasefire, you know what this is the equivalent of?
Tell me.
George H.W. Bush won, not finishing off the job with Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, and just letting it fester.
Fester and sit
forever.
There until we got another problem. Right or wrong about war number two, about war number one, whatever. If he would have finished the job the first time around, we would have saved ourselves a lot of headache.
And by the way, you're going to save yourself human life and suffering if you finish the war. You get the effort done. You make it stop. You don't just go back and forth. You don't wait for the next invasion of Israel. You don't do that. 855-785-8255. Now, Karine Jean-Pierre was asked after John Kirby spoke about whether or not President Biden was going to meet with any of the student protesters who have been taking over college campuses.
Congressman Ro Khanna said that the president should and will be out visiting these campuses amid the protests. Is there any plan for him to get out there and talk to students right now? Okay.
So no plan. Not going to do it. She was go ahead.
Well, you notice John Kirby does all the talk about important topics.
Yeah, and she does no.
And she does no, and no. She'll talk about it. She can't even get through this. There's a reason why they want her out.
Yeah.
But they can't deal with it because she's gay and black. And so they can't kick her out because she's gay and black, and in the Democrat Party, that is absolutely protected.
If you can check multiple boxes.
Yeah.
Whammo blammo for you.
Yeah, if you're a Democrat.
Write your ticket. Yep.
That's a double twofer
Double whammy. Advance directly to collect your payday, I think is what it is.
Yes.
And woman, black,
triple.
Gay.
It's a triple.
She's a triple-dipple.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. But here we go. Here she is on whether or not refugees are being brought here to our universities from Gaza.
On these reported plans for the U.S. to bring over Palestinian refugees potentially, is there anything you can tell us about where we are in the works with that? And what I know it would have to depend on coordination with Egypt, which so far has been resistant to cooperate on this. What can you tell us about those plans?
I don't have anything further to announce. I know I was asked this question a couple times last week, just don't have anything else to share.
course.
Wait, just one more, by the way. One more, and then we have to get to Kamala Harris's foreign policy because it's important.
We try to do everything that we can, obviously, to give you all as much access, give the press as much access. It is sometimes the visiting country they have their own requests, and we try to certainly accommodate their request as well. And so, look, we will try every turn at every of these events to make sure that there is press access. In this particular instance, it was a private lunch, and we tried to also accommodate the visitors that come here as well.
So she's getting the question about why they are so secretive with Biden, why he doesn't have FaceTime with the press, and she says, we try everything we can to give you as much access as possible.
Much access as you can, but he has to sleep.
He's got to sleep.
He's got to take his nap.
And you know what? Why do we even need Biden when we have Kamala? Kamala Harris, our illustrious vice president, was out on the campaign trail yesterday, and she had reporters around her talking about Israel. She made a campaign stop at Joe Louis Southern Kitchen to order food. On her way out, she's asked by reporters about their take on Israel. Take a listen.
Madam Vice President, Hamas has accepted a ceasefire deal. Hamas has accepted a ceasefire deal. Your reaction?
What are your thoughts on Hamas accepting a ceasefire deal?
Tell her she can kiss my grits.
Shrimp and grits.
Shrimp and grits. So what do you think about Hamas? What do you think about Israel? Shrimp and grits.
Shrimp and grits. That's what it is.
Tell her she can kiss my grits.
That's Flo, by the way.
Flo Jean Castleberry from Alice. Yeah, so that's the new foreign policy of the Biden administration. We've got don't and kiss my grits.
Tell her she can kiss my grits.
There you go.
All right. If you need to sell your home, moving, downsizing, maybe you've told someone to kiss your grits and you got to go. Maybe you've inherited an old house. Well, sell it the easy way. Seller's Advantage buys your home, they buy it as is. No expensive repairs, no prepping your home for showings, and no annoying walkthroughs. They buy directly from you. No agents, no commissions, and they give you a competitive price and a cash offer, and they do it right away, which means that you close in days, not weeks or months.
Process is super fast. It's super easy. Why would you pay an agent a commission? At 6% is a lot of money when you talk about real estate prices in California. Save that money. Use it to do some great fun things. Use it to buy new furniture. Use it for whatever you want, but you're going to save it, and that's the great thing about Seller's Advantage. Putting the advantage in your living room when they come to check out your house. They give you a cash offer. You're on down the road. Check out the reviews as well. They're all 5-star. People love this program. And we do, too. We urge you to call Seller's Advantage. They may even give you a $10,000 advance for moving expenses.
Absolutely. So here's what you need to do. Call Seller's Advantage today. Get that free no-obligation offer at 888-421-AS-IS, 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 or online at sellersadvantage.com. That's sellersadvantage.com. DRE number 1096-1658. As we continue, well, we've got Stormy Daniels on the stand. We will get you updates from the courtroom as your Tuesday Morning Answer continues.
The Morning Answer with Jennifer Horn and Grant Stinchfield.
I think you all know that I've always felt the 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
You know, we're going to set up follow-up calls with every governor we met with to make sure we're available. I think it was President Reagan said, we're from the government. We're here to help.
It's the Morning Answer.
Yeah, hard pass on that. Thanks. That's Miguel Cardona, by the way, the Secretary of Education. Didn't quite get that one right. Thanks for joining us. It is Tuesday here on The Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
I'm Grant Stinchfield.
All right. Right now, Stormy Daniels has been called to the stand in the Trump so-called hush money trial. President Trump appears to be watching. This is some of the reporting from the courtroom. Remember, you don't have live cameras, but the prosecution's now questioning Stormy Daniels. She testified she met Trump at a Lake Tahoe golf tournament when she was 27 years old. She also said that, or it seemed that she was nervous. The prosecution and the judges had to tell her to slow down a bit. President Trump is staring straight ahead as Stormy Daniels testifies about meeting him at that golf tournament. He appears to be watching her on the camera feed, according to courtroom reporters. Daniels says it was a brief encounter. The prosecutor is Susan Hoffinger. She's now directing the questioning, and she's talking about July 2006, just for context. Stormy Daniels said she was working at a celebrity golf tournament in Lake Tahoe. She was still working for an adult film picture company at the time. Daniels testified she met Trump at the tournament. She said it was a brief encounter. She cracked a joke about the adult film company's sponsorship of one of the holes of the golf course. The jurors did not laugh. Trump has denied the affair with Daniels. These are some of the reports coming in from the courtroom right now. So she said she wasn't serious about a draft Stormy for Senate campaign that, remember, she was trying to run for Senate.
So this looks like this is going downhill, too, for the prosecution.
Perhaps.
She's making jokes. The jury's not laughing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good.
Yeah. She talked about the podcast, said that she no longer hosts the podcast because she was fired. She said, I was reluctant to just continue talking about that one narrative, you know, this case, basically.
Well, what is the point of talking about all these things? What does this have to do with a entry, whether it's a legal expense or a campaign expense?
It's a really, really great question.
What does this have to do with any of that?
I don't know. And they even asked her what movies and things she's been in mainstream. They didn't ask for her pornography career, I don't believe.
Yeah.
But did you know that she was in 40-Year-Old Virgin and Knocked Up?
I didn't.
Yes. There you go. She was also in a video for Maroon 5 and one for Rob Zombie.
Hmm.
I know. She's doing two books. She's written one book called Full Disclosure and is in the process of finishing up two other books that are set to come out next year. I'm sorry. I'm curious to know. Okay, I get it. The first one, Full Disclosure, is probably when she's talking about Trump. Fine. You got your one thing that you get to talk about. But what, pray tell, could Stormy Daniels possibly have in her to write two more books coming out next year? What is it? What's the topic? I'd love to know. I'd love to drill in on that.
Yeah.
What is she going to be talking about?
What is she going to talk about?
I mean, what was that, Daniel? Daniel's just giving us one-liners in our ears. What is this?
Her career, perhaps?
Her career, she was in Knocked Up and the 40-Year-Old Virgin. I'm betting they weren't speaking roles.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, behind the scenes, each book referencing the two movies, you know.
It's odd. I don't know. Maybe, I'm not trying to be mean, really.
Still can't be living off that $130,000.
Well, I know, and that's why she's got to do something. So what do? You write a couple books? It's hard to sell a book, man. It's hard to sell a book.
Is she still doing porn?
Uh-uh. I don't think so. And she said the reason she got into it, she said she was afraid to do it. She said, I was honestly kind of scared to do it. A friend, she said, I'll do it with you. Just doing one, you can say you've done it and it will bump you up in pay grade. Daniel says she won 11 Best Director Awards and 2 Best Screenplays.
Come on. Where was this?
Probably at the AVN Awards. They have them in Vegas. That's the Adult Video Awards. I don't know.
Crazy.
I know.
So this is what they're going to talk to her about. I mean, you know, in the end, they need to ask her, did this happen or did this not happen?
Right.
Right? Well, and then she's going to say, I think she's going to agree that it didn't happen.
It would be interesting because they're going to get there. They're now talking about when they met, the brief encounter, the fact that she cracked, you know, that she was at this golf tournament. She cracks a joke. The jury, apparently she's been trying to laugh all the way through. And the jury has not been laughing with her.
I'm sure the jury's getting sick of this. They're like, what did I sign up for? This whole case is a joke. I hope, you know, I said early on, I said that I have faith that you're going to think I'm nuts on this.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I grew up in New York. I have faith in New Yorkers that if you go through all of these hundreds of jurors, you can pick jurors that are going to be able to at least be fair. And they don't want the intrusion like this of an out of control prosecutor's office. I have faith in New Yorkers that they'll do the right thing here. I may be so naive. I don't know.
Look, I think it's really, at this point, it's a crapshoot. First of all, you've had the prosecution now for what? We're on day 12, I think, of testimony? Day 13.
Yeah.
So this is day 13 of testimony in the trial. And you have had, number one, you've had a lot of people come through that have actually helped make the case for the defense. There hasn't been a clear, like, specific incident or piece of proof that the prosecution have presented that there's been a crime committed. So under all circumstances, you would think this is not looking good for the prosecution. The only thing you have to think about now is whether or not that jury is going to have the hate on for President Trump to just kind of not do what's right or wrong. And don't forget, you can always have a hung jury here. You can have a couple of people who don't think that he's guilty.
Which is great. He doesn't go to jail for a hung jury.
You just have to go through this process.
You got to go through this again. Now, there's always the chance that, okay, by the time the election rolls around, they won't do it again because it's not going to do them any good to tie him up in court, because this will be, before being able to try him again, he'll be president.
That's right. We hope, we think.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, 855-785-8255. We'll keep an eye on what's going on as Stormy Daniels testifies. Again, it's very basic, her life story, what's going on, the brief encounter. We'll see what else she talks about, what else she's asked. As we continue, this is a really interesting one. There's a new law being proposed in California, Grant, that would ban self-checkout in stores. We'll tell you why. Self-checkout may be banned in California. As your Tuesday Morning Answer continues.